Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of the Chicago Football Podcast. Coming at you first week of June into a beautiful week in Chicago. The Bears have wrapping up their OTAs. Veteran minicamp is next week. Bourbonnais is 7 weeks away. The NFL season is 12 weeks away. You can taste it. You can feel it. Get ready for some 2017 Chicago Bears. My name is Kevin Fishbein. You can follow me on Twitter at KFishbein. Got my producer, Dan Mott. You can follow him at Mott's Thoughts. Check out all of our Bears stuff at Bears_Insider and online at ProFootballWeekly.com/Bears. Add us on Snapchat, Bears_Insider, and follow us on Facebook. Give us a like, Facebook.com/PFW Bears. Hopefully you're listening to this podcast because you like this podcast. And you can subscribe on iTunes. Just search Pro Football Weekly Chicago and give us a 5-star rating while you are there. In a few minutes, we're going to talk to Jeremy Stoltz of the Bear Report, which is the Bears page on scout.com, talk about Bears OTAs, and kind of break down some of the key players to watch, especially on the defensive side of the football. But before we get to that, just we had another OTA open in the media on Tuesday. They practiced at the far field at Halas Hall, so there wasn't a ton for us to see. And again, these guys are in shorts. There's only so much I can tell you, of course, of what happens. But it does prevent us from going overboard about certain plays guys are going to be making before they put the pads on in a few weeks. You still got a lot of guys that are working their way back from off-season injuries, off-season surgery. So we're not seeing the first and second team in their full. But we're still seeing these guys kind of get acclimated. It was kind of outside linebacker day because we did hear from Pernell McPhee and Willie Young. And that's an interesting position because the Bears believe they have something special potentially at outside linebacker. And I think teams around the league, too, are impressed with the talent level, especially Pernell McPhee's healthy. Got to keep Leonard Floyd healthy. Willie Young can get you 8 to 10 sacks as well. Lamar Houston still with the team as he comes back from the ACL. He's been out there working out. So they have options got there. They got three veterans and a top 10 draft pick. And I think when you try to figure out how this Bears team can make strides, that's one of the spots they really want to kind of help elevate the rest of the roster. Because frankly, you look at the talented outside linebacker is far superior to the talented other spots in the field. You know, if Dane Trevathan was healthy, you could throw inside linebacker too. If we knew what we were getting from Eddie Goldman and Jonathan Bullard and Jay Howard, maybe defensive line. So many question marks in the secondary, but the outside linebackers, again, if McPhee and Floyd are healthy, that's going to be a key position for this Bears team. So those were two guys that talked to media. Obviously, when it's Pernell McPhee and Willie Young, you get some entertaining quotes from those two, but they're leaders of this defense, and they're going to be important guys for this team to try to improve upon that 3-13 record. In terms of content for you, I talked to Connor Shaw last week, and Connor told us, a group of us, that he was 400 miles away from Halas Hall and made his way all the way to Lexington, Kentucky on his drive back to South Carolina when Dow Loggins called him and said, hey, Mark Sanchez hurt his knee. We need you to come back. So he turned around, came back, back as the quarterback, at least through OTAs and minicamp next week. And if Sanchez is back and healthy for start training camp, we'll see what the Bears do there. But kind of an interesting, unique story and look into the business of the NFL. Arthur Arkus has a story on Mitch Trubisky. You talked to the media. You know, the NFL playbook, he said he's spent more time on the playbook than anything he's worked on his entire life. I mean, this is a huge jump for him to learn an NFL playbook, and he is understanding the time commitment that it takes. So he's gained a lot of reps with the second team with Sanchez out, which can only help Mitch Trubisky's to get set for the challenges to come in training camp and OTAs. There's a video up on our website, again, profootballweekly.com/Bears. Hub and I discuss those aforementioned outside linebackers. And I got a chance to talk to Adrian Amos for a few minutes about Quinton Demps, about the safety spot. You know, the key for Adrian Amos, he told me, he's healthy this offseason. He was not healthy last offseason. Didn't really get to work out in team drills until, I believe, if it wasn't minicamp, it was definitely training camp. And that had to slow him up a little bit. And he was a guy that the Bears were really excited about for year two. Such a steady player as a rookie. And then it was like, okay, now start creating turnovers. And he just didn't do that last year. None of the safeties did. None of the defensive backs did. So it looks like he'll still get a crack at, you know, at that job next to Dems, but he's going to have to fight off a bunch of rookies. We'll talk about that more in depth in just a few minutes. But that story's up at profootballweekly.com/Bears. As Amos says, you know, he's healthy, and he knows that this team's really got to try to up that turnover count. It's no secret. Every team works on it. But when you set a franchise record low 2 years in a row, then gosh darn it, you better be working on it. So you can check out that story, learn a little bit more about Adrian Amos. Sneak peek to next week. We get access to the Bears all 3 days, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at Halas Hall. Mike Glennon talks on Tuesday. John Fox talks all 3 days, try to get some other players to talk to us as well. And we'll kind of wrap up the entire offseason training program with our podcast next week before the kind of 6 week summer break the Bears and the rest of the NFL go on before training camp. Before we get to our interview, though, want to tell you a little bit about our sponsor this week, and it's Loot Crate. If you head to lootcrate.com/Shaw, use our promo code Shaw, S-H-A-W, you're going to get $3 off your first crate. I talked last week about how great last month's crate was with the Goonies gear. In June's crate, you're going to find items from Spider-Man, Transformers, the Hulk, and DC Comics. It's a Transform theme. And I don't know about you guys, Transformers was my favorite cartoon growing up. I had all the little Transformers action figures. I loved the first couple of movies, the Transformers movies, when they came back with Shia LaBeouf. It's kind of funny even to say that Shia LaBeouf was in a movie that I really enjoyed, which was the first couple Transformers movies. But the franchise is obviously still going, and in this month's crate, you will get something from Transformers. Remember, a t-shirt and pin in every single crate, in addition to all the rest of your really cool gear, houseware, and collectibles. LootCrate.com/Shaw. Use that promo code Shaw, S-H-A-W. $3 off your first grade. It's an awesome subscription service and a great gift as well. All right, let's get to our interview with Jeremy Stoltz of the Bear Report. Here to recap Bears OTAs and get us set for mini camp, I want to bring on a friend and on the Bears beat, Jeremy Stoltz. You can find him on Twitter at Bear Report. He covers the Bears for Bear Report, which is the scout.com Bears page. And Jeremy, we've joked on this podcast the past couple of weeks, so there's only so much we can tell the listeners, but has anybody stood out to you or anything stood out to you? And as we've watched the Bears in shorts the past 3 weeks?
Yeah, you know, you're right as far as what we can talk about. And it is difficult, I think, especially when we're discussing the offensive and defensive lines, just because these are practices in shorts. But I think the one player who has stood out to me along the defensive line has been Jonathan Bullard. And again, you know, they're not in pads, they're not crashing into each other. But I've seen the quickness out of him that we saw in the film from the Florida, his collegiate career at Florida, which we really didn't see last season. I think the Bears are really banking on him, or at least were banking on him, and they used that third round draft pick to be that type of three technique penetrating type of player who can push the pocket in the face of opposing quarterbacks, especially on passing downs. And we saw none of that from him his rookie season. I think he had a difficult transition, but it appears to me that he's, you know, kind of really taking that next step. And I've seen him make plays both shutting down run plays, filling gaps, and getting after the quarterback. So, as far as somebody really standing out and taking that next step, he's the guy who stood out to me.
Yeah, it's a great call, Jeremy, because I think Jonathan Bullard, there was excitement about him in training camp last year. We saw some flashes and really ineffective during the season. And Vic Fangio and Ryan Pace both kind of alluded to he just needed a little bit more time to acclimate to the NFL game. But you look at how different his style is to Akeem Hicks, and you could really see that if Bullard does take that step, how good that D-line could be with Hicks and Eddie Goldman, and even if Jay Howard's healthy.
Yeah, and you talk about the differing skill sets. It's absolutely, especially with Jay Howard and Hicks. Those are more of two-gap guys who, you know, really use that bull rush to maximum potential. But I think Bullard is more of that Henry Melton type of player, more of a pure three technique. I don't think he's really has the full skill set to be that three down player who's going to get in there and stuff run lanes. I think he can still do that, but I think his best value is as a pass rusher. So yeah, if you know, we talked to the outside linebackers this week and that group and what their potential is. But if you add that potential for the outside linebacker group to a guy like Bullard who can shut down that pocket, close up that pocket, man, that's going to help a lot, you know, solve a lot of questions in the secondary, you know, that pass rush. If it really gets after the quarterback, the defense definitely can take that step forward this year.
You mentioned the outside linebackers, and we did hear from Pernell McPhee and Willie Young, two of the leaders, two of the veterans. But Leonard Floyd is the guy that, again, we can't go into too much detail what we've seen, what we haven't seen, but he did miss one of the OTAs we were at. And, you know, the key for him is obviously availability and staying in the field. But, Jeremy, when I had to pick a defensive breakout player for the Bears this year, I picked Leonard Floyd. I see a high ceiling for this guy if he can stay healthy. Again, we haven't seen enough from him in OTAs yet. Maybe we'll see more in minicamp. Might have to wait to Bourbonnais. But what do you see as far as his potential for year two?
Well, and Vic Fangio has talked about this a number of times, and he's brought up the impact that injuries had on Floyd his rookie season. And I saw that too. When he was healthy, I mean, you go back to that Green Bay game and what he was able to do, that first Green Bay game. And, that's his ceiling right there. That's the type of impact that he can have, I think, on a weekly basis. But, we're talking about a guy who couldn't, he was sick coming into training camp last year, and, it just spiraled from there. I mean, he was only healthy maybe good and healthy for maybe a month out of the season last year, and he was still able to get seven sacks in the that brief amount of time. So I agree. I think if he stays on the field, I mean, I was a fan of Leonard Floyd coming out of Georgia. I like what he brings as a speed rusher. I like his ability to turn the corner. I like his pursuit, and I think he stands up very well at the point of attack. I don't have any issues with him being a three down player. I think he can play the run very well. So I think you're right. I agree with you about him being, having that breakout potential, but man, he's got to stay on the field. And, every time we talked to Vic Fangio, he just talks about the need for Floyd. I mean, you ask him what he's got to do, he says, stay on the field. I mean, he never really talks about what he has to do technique wise, fundamentals, mental, stay on the field. So if he does that, if he's able to get out there and play a 16 game slate, I definitely think he has double digit sack potential and could really be that breakout player.
Yeah, and let's go stick with the outside linebackers, because they're the guys that talk this week. And because we can't say so much about practices, the guys who talk end up really being the story from what we can talk about from OTAs. By the way, Jeremy, I had Mark Potash on 2 weeks ago. So Potsy went in a little bit, of course, on the media restrictions.
Of course he did. You can always count on him for that.
Which is great. And we love Potsy for it. But yeah. Pernell McPhee, I think one of the positives we can take out of OTAs is that he's been out there when we've been out there. And that's obviously a big difference from last year. He talked about the weight that he's lost. And Vic Fangio just said, we get Pernell McPhee back to what he was the first six, seven games of 2015. That's a big help. And you look at they didn't draft an outside linebacker. They have a couple undrafted guys in. They moved Roy Robertson-Harris to defensive line. There's a lot of confidence, I think, from the staff that Pernell McPhee is going to be healthy. What kind of, from the way he plays, what can that bring to this defense if he is going to stay healthy?
Well, I think Fangio hit it on the head when he talked about what he was able to do his first eight games. I think he had five sacks his first eight games with the Bears, and then the injuries hit, and he's never really been that player since. I think McPhee's ceiling, I really think they need to be careful with him. I think as a, a pure player, he can do it all. I think he has the power to just overpower offensive tackles. We've seen it on a number of occasions where he just uses that brute strength to put them in their place. And that also applies to the run game, too. I don't think there's a better outside linebacker in the NFC who can set the edge like Pernell McPhee can. But, again, it's similar to Leonard Floyd. If he's not on the field, he's not going to be able to produce. And, you go back to what Pernell McPhee was with the Baltimore Ravens. He was a rotational player, and he had a lot of success in that role, playing behind some Pro Bowl linebackers. And I think he's probably best suited in a rotational role. I think he can have a major impact being out there 50 snaps a game, but I think the odds of him getting hurt are likely. And I mean, we've seen that over the last couple of seasons. So I think he can have a major impact, but I think if you work him too much, I think the risk of Pernell McPhee going down again is very high. So I that's why, you talk about guys like Lamar Houston, Willie Young, Leonard Floyd. Those guys need to get healthy, stay on the field as well, and be a four-man rotation and not force anybody to take too many snaps and put themselves at unnecessary risk.
Talking with Jeremy Stoltz, you can follow him on Twitter at Bear Report and check out his Bears coverage at scout.com's Bears page. And Jeremy, I've been teasing the listeners the past couple of weeks. Let's talk about the safety position, because it's a rite of passage every spring. with the, when you cover the Bears, you got to talk about the safeties. I did talk to Adrian Amos this week. There's a story up at profootballweekly.com/Bears. You know, we talked about how he's kind of been there alongside Quentin Demps to get started. I still think that's an open competition, whether it's Eddie Jackson, when he gets back to being healthy, if he can factor in Harold Jones-Corte, Deion Bush. How do you see that kind of battle playing out? And from the skill sets you've seen from these guys, you know, maybe who do you think would be the best fit next to Demps?
Well, you know who I'm really interested in seeing is DeAndre Hall. When the pads come on and they start actually doing some stuff in training camp. I mean, we're talking about a 6'2 guy who has experience playing safety. I mean, he was a cornerback his last year at Northern Iowa, but I think he was a safety up until that point during his collegiate career. So this isn't something new for him. There's not going to be a huge learning curve for DeAndre Hall. And I think, you know, he showed some really good ball skills when he was on the field last year. I know he had a truncated season just because of the injuries, but when he was out there, he made some plays. And I think if you can get, you know, if he shows some range and is able to, pick up what Fangio's asking him to do and not let defenders get behind him, those 50-50 jump ball situations, he's probably going to win a lot of those. And that's going to, you know, help limit those deep passes, which have really killed the Bears the last couple of years. But I think Amos is a really, you know, I think this is on him. I think Demps is probably locked in at that other starting spot. But it's up to Amos to show that he deserves to continue being the starter. And I think last couple seasons, we've seen some flashes from him, but I think his biggest, you know, the hurdle that he has to overcome is being a better player in one-on-one man coverage. And, you know, especially, you know, facing some of those speedier wide receivers, he's really struggled in that role. And that's particularly been the case on third down. So if he doesn't show some improvement in coverage, I don't think the Bears are going to hesitate, especially Fangio, Ed Donatelle. They've shown, you know, in the past that if you're not performing, you're out of there. So I think if he can't get his act together in coverage, I think he's still a good in-the-box player. But, you know, with the way that the Bears use the safeties, they're interchangeable. He's going to have to be on the back end occasionally. And if he starts getting beat again on the back end, I think they're going to take a look at some of these younger guys. You mentioned a few of them. Deion Bush, you know, DeAndre Houston Carson is another guy. DeAndre Hall and Eddie Jackson, if he can get on the field. They've got some young talent at the safety position. And if one of those guys stands out and if Amos starts to struggle, I think they're gonna make that switch quickly. So I think it's up to Amos to prove that he still deserves to be the starter.
Yeah, and great call with DeAndre Hall, and they really want to see what he can do there. We saw the ball skills last year. I think I'm not alone in saying I'm really curious to see Eddie Jackson once he gets fully healthy and is able to contribute. I imagine that'll be in Bourbonnais, just because we've seen some of these other guys, Jeremy, so he's kind of the unknown. Let's flip to the offensive side of the ball. At one of the first OTAs, you got a chance to talk to Deion Sims, the new Bears tight end, and I think when we talk about the new Bears, he kind of gets lost in the shuffle because of the position. But you look at his salary, you look at a guy that Adam Gase said that the Dolphins really wanted to keep him. But he wanted to be a starter. He's getting paid starter's money. He came on strong last year as a pass catcher, not something he was known for earlier in his career. He's not like Zach Miller to threaten the seam, but he's going to be a factor in this offense as long as you follow the money. What did you take from your conversation with him, and then how do you kind of handicap what could be an interesting position to watch this summer at tight end?
Yeah, I think you're right in him trying to be in a sleeper, under the radar player. And again, like you mentioned, the contract shows that they believe he's going to be a big part of this offense. And I think that's going to be the case. And we've seen that already. There's some injuries at the tight end position. So Deion Sims is getting a lot of reps with that first team. And I think he's shown good fluidity as a pass catcher. I think he's shown good hands. I saw him make a couple really nice grabs this week. Those snatch hands touches that you don't always see from tight ends who have a career high 28 pass receptions. So I think that, you know, he was a rotational player in Miami and, worked next to Fasano, who's one of the best blocking tight ends in the NFL. And I think that's where he kind of, picked up his game in that area. You go back to his starting reports when he was coming out of college, and one of the biggest things was he had to improve as a blocker, and now he's considered one of the best blocking tight ends in the NFL. So I think that there's huge value just in that right there, especially Jordan Howard is going to be the focal point of your offense. Now you have an edge blocker who can really seal down. But I also think that as a receiver, especially if a guy like Zach Miller can't stay healthy, I think Deion Sims is going to surprise a lot of guys. I do think very highly of Adam Shaheen, especially in the red zone. But I think Deion Sims is going to be the guy between the 20s who's really going to carry the offense, especially if Zach Miller can't get out there. I think Deion Sims is really going to surprise a lot of people. I think he's going to well exceed what he's done in the past in terms of career highs in receptions. And I think he has the potential to be, you know, on the offensive side of the ball, that breakout type player.
Let's wrap up with this, Jeremy. You guys at Bear Report do a great job talking about the rookies and even undrafted rookies. It's a weird draft class. You mentioned Adam Shaheen. He might end up being the guy that plays the most of this class this year, unless Eddie Jackson wins a starting job. Who are some of those guys, whether it's one of the five draft picks or one of them, maybe an undrafted rookie you think can make this team? Who are some of the guys you're really interested to watch next week in minicamp and then again when we head to Bourbon A?
Well, Tariq Cohen has just really blown me away in terms of his elusiveness and just his quickness and his one-cut ability and is able to stop on a dime. Also, his burst. I saw yesterday Tuesday him beat the entire defense to the corner, didn't get touched until he was about 12 yards up the sideline. That's a type of skill set the Bears really haven't had at the running back position in a while, and I think that's going to complement Jordan Howard very well. You know, you see Cohen, when he gets the ball on a screen pass or just taking a swing pass, you know, his first move typically leaves a defender with, you know, an armful of air. I mean, he's one of the most elusive players I've ever seen up close, and I'm, you know, I am concerned a little bit about his size. 5'6" is pretty small. So I want to see what he's able to do when the pads come on. But if the pads come on and he's still, you know, guys are still struggling to get anywhere near him, I think Cohen, he brings some excitement to this offense that, you know, no one really in the receiving group or the tight end group really brings. I think Cohen is the guy who has that home run potential every time he touches the ball. So that's exciting to me. I also think that Tanner Gentry has been a pretty impressive wide receiver out of this group. And I know that the Bears have some veterans and there's a lot of guys locked in at that spot. But a couple of injuries, and I think Gentry has a legitimate shot to make the roster. And if not, I think he's one of the priority guys for the practice squad just because of his hands. I don't think I've seen him drop a pass. I mean, rookie minicamp, he was dominant. And, I think a possession guy like that, you definitely have some value, especially if guys get hurt, on the depth chart ahead of him.
I guarantee you, Jeremy, that Tanner Gentry will be a fan favorite in Bourbon A.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
He's going to be the Daniel Braverman, the Andy Fantuz, the white receiver that catches every ball. And not taking anything away from him, I think he's looked good. I think he's definitely going to be a factor at some point. Fun fact about Tanner Gentry, I'm not sure if you noticed this, he's on to his third number so far with the Bears.
No.
I know he was wearing 19 on when we were there on Tuesday. He was wearing 9 the week before, but then Connor Shaw came back, so he went to 19. I'm pretty sure he had a different number when we were at the rookie minicamp earlier this spring. So Tanner Gentry showing versatility, being able to catch passes no matter what the number is on the back.
Yeah, I think he's 83 right now. Yesterday was what he was wearing. So yeah,
that's right. 83 was the other number. So now Mykal Pruitt, tight end, is back to 80. They're all over the place. So yeah. Don't worry. Don't buy your, what we're trying to say, don't buy your Tanner Gentry jersey yet. wait till it makes the roster, figure out what number he's going to be. He could certainly play a role. All right. Jeremy Stoltz, you can follow him on Twitter at Bear Report. You say he's going to tweet a little more once we get, to the season, and check out his stuff at scout.com, the Bears page. Oh, by the way, Jeremy, a treat for our listeners. You're a big beer guy. You're a big music guy. Any good beers or concerts or things you're looking forward to this summer? Really putting you on the spot there, but figured I'd throw you a curveball there, talk beer and music, which you love to talk about.
Yeah, sure. No, I could talk beer and music all day. I actually just went and saw a band called Wolfpack. I don't know if you've ever heard of them. Wolfpack, like a German would say it, one of the best funk bands you will ever hear, and has one of the best bass players named Joe Dart you'll ever hear. So if you really dig them, funk music, go get out there and see them. One band that I'm really looking forward to seeing, and they're going to be playing at the North Coast Music Festival, is Primus playing with a band called Ween, two of my favorite bands. 3 days in Chicago, should be a blast. Really looking forward to that. And as far as beer goes, if you're ever out in the west suburbs, there's a brewery in Naperville, in my hometown, called Solemn Oath Brewery. They brew all their own craft beer, some of the best beer that you're going to have out in the west suburbs. So if you're ever out in this area, if you ever see it, it's there in stores now in cans. So if you ever see them, give them a try. It's worth the money.
Awesome stuff. And you had answers for my curveball. That's why you're one of the best.
Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks for taking the time, and we'll see you at House Hall next week.
Yeah, pleasure was all mine. Thanks for having me.
If you're looking for a website to keep you up to date on all the latest news, scoops, and rumors from around the NFL, look no further than ProFootballWeekly.com. It's the place for all the best news around the league. You'll find breaking news, hard-hitting columns, video, photos, podcasts, and more. All 32 teams, 24/7, 365 days a year. While you're at it, catch up with all things NFL in our newsletter. Our NFL Daily Update will send you all of the news you need to keep up with the pace of the NFL. You'll get news, analysis, and more sent right to your inbox at noon, Monday through Friday. Sign up now to start getting NFL news during the week. Pro Football Weekly, bringing the best coverage in the NFL to its readers since 1967. Are you following us on social media? Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/ProFootballWeekly. Then head over to Twitter and follow PF Weekly and never miss an NFL update. There are plenty of ways for you to enjoy Pro Football Weekly, whether in print or online. If news breaks in the NFL, don't miss a thing and keep it at ProFootballWeekly.com. We now return to the Pro Football Weekly Chicago podcast. Here's your host, Kevin Fishbane, talking all things Bears.
Big thank you again to Jeremy Stolta. I sit near Jeremy, sit next to him at Hallis Hall, and sit near him in the press box. And he's always so busy during games because the subscribers there at scout.com, they have this chat room that they go in and to kind of talk about the game as it's happening. So we all think we're busy live tweeting and writing notes and getting our stories done. He is frantically kind of keeping up in the chat room. So good stuff there at the Bear Report. And he does a good job of kind of seeing some of the nitty gritty that goes on at these OTAs. And I thought it was a great point for him to bring up Jonathan Bullard, because you talk about that year two jump. And obviously we're all focused on Leonard Floyd. I think Cody Whitehair could have a really nice season. Curious to see DeAndre Hall in that transition to safety. But Jonathan Bullard, it could be one of those X factors, one of those guys that if he does show off that quick get off we saw glimpses of, we saw in college, it makes a huge difference on that defensive line and really can help Akeem Hicks and Eddie Goldman. Eddie Goldman's back from that ankle injury that, you know, he was only played in six games last year, was only really healthy for two before that really rough injury happened against the Eagles. And he's going to be another guy that everyone's going to have their eyes on as we get into Bourbonnais and get into the regular season, because, again, this team put a lot of money and premium draft picks in that front seven on defense. They need that group to play like a top 10 unit to help this defense, and especially to help a secondary. It's still young. It's got some moving parts. So all those things we'll learn more about in 7 weeks away. We'll be in Bourbonnais. But for next week, we will be at Veteran Minicamp all 3 days, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Follow along on Twitter at Bears_Insider. Add us on Snapchat, Bears_Insider, and on Facebook, PFW Bears. For my producer, Dan Mott, and our guest this week, Jeremy Stoltz, I'm Kevin Fishbane. Thank you so much for listening. Stay tuned to ProFootballWeekly.com/Bears for all the best Bears content. Subscribe to this podcast as well. We've got more Bears talk for you coming next week.